I feel like there's been a unity to this service that was just has to be the Spirit of God, because the amount of coordination, there was a little bit this week, but just from the very beginning, I just feel like could see the Lord's hand on what he had kind of given. And I was praying this morning that I really pray that we would ask the Spirit of God to indeed bring his message, because I don't feel, you know, like I can quite, there is a great message in this portion of Scripture. There's a great, great warning. There's a phenomenal warning. And there's something that we need to see, and we only see it by the Spirit of God. And so I really pray that you would pray with me and invite the Spirit of God to bring his word as read from Luke 14. And going to skip the count the cost portion and just then jump to that last verse. But I invite you to stand out of honor. And this is the word of God, and it is a parable sent from God to explain something that we can miss, and we dare not. Luke 14, verse 15. Hearing this, a man sitting at the table with Jesus exclaimed, "What a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God." Can I read that again? Can you see the truth? Can you get your mind around the truth of this statement? What a blessing it will be to attend a banquet in the kingdom of God. May we get that, I pray. Jesus replied with this story. A man prepared a great feast and sent out many invitations. When the banquet was ready, he sent his servant to tell the guests, "Come, the banquet is ready." But they all began making excuses. One said, "I have just bought a field and must inspect it. Please excuse me." Another said, "I have just bought 5 pairs of oxen and I want to try them out. Please excuse me." Another said, "I now have a wife, so I can't come." The servant returned and told his master what they had said. His master was furious and said, "Go quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." After the servant had done this, he retorted, "There is still room for more." So the master said, "Go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come to the house so that the house will be full. For none of those I first invited will even get the smallest taste of my banquet." And then we have these statements from Jesus. A large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, "If you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison. Your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. And if otherwise you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple." And then jumping down after 2 stories about counting the cost, about construction and about going to war. Then verse 33. "So you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own." And there are so many people that will say, "No way." May God help us to see, yes, we have to find the way to understand and do this. Let's pray together. Our God, we pray by your Holy Spirit that you would help us to understand these words. We pray that you would help us to see the value of the eternal feast compared to really that which is detestable that is before us in many cases. Things that people value, God does not. And so I pray that you would give us that heart. It needs to be a miracle in our hearts, because we will turn away as the rich young ruler did when we're told to sell everything and give it to the poor and receive treasure in heaven. I pray, help us to see the value of the treasure of heaven compared to the value of this earth. We pray that your Spirit would open our eyes and accomplish this, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So this title, that was the best thing I got accomplished all week, I think. The Lord gave me that title. may not mean much to you, but it means a lot to me. And the quality of the feast justifies the cost. And of course, Revelation 19 is talking about that eternal feast that I want to make sure you have those verses. I kind of humbly like to suggest some homework maybe this time. One of the best books in my life, The Hard Sayings of Jesus by F.F. Bruce. That title has been significant to me for over 3 decades. And, you know, there's just a lot of portions of Scripture that are like, wow. Well, this gentleman is able to take the complex and make it very simple. And he took a lot of difficult things and made them simple. And when I first started out seeking to do this, this book put a lot of things within my grasp that I'm not sure I'd have gotten otherwise. And he has on the back of his book, this probably in King James, as an example of a hard saying of Jesus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." And some people just go, what? And if you'll look at John chapter 6, that's exactly what happened. Jesus had people following him for free health care and free food, and that just isn't what the kingdom of God is about. And he challenged them on him, and he pushed them, and he pushed back, if you will, against that cheap grace, that easy believism, that just God is some kind of candy machine or whatever. And he said, hey, and he'll make these kind of statements that when understood, no problem. But to the uninitiated who are just looking for free handouts, this is like Jesus is just not the lovable fuzzball. He is challenging this weak, weak, superficial stuff. And if you will, he just really won't put up with it. I thought last week's principle was a hard saying, but at least it had a great promise right in the middle of it. If we, you know, this idea, this is the most quoted statement of Jesus, or the most repeated statement in the Gospels. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And it's like, he's asking us to give up our lives, you know, and it's a challenge. It's a hard saying. It's asking a lot. But at least right in there, right in the midst of it, he says, you'll save it. If you'll give it up, you will save it. Now, a lot of people say, I don't want to give it up. But at least to those that will, there's that promise right there immediately that you will save it. So then Monday morning, I'm feeling like death warmed over or whatever, you know, and it's just, and I know there's Sunday's coming. You know, you have that mantle Monday morning, you know, and so I need something. But I'm reading the scripture, and I kind of must have glazed over the feast. I clearly I didn't get it, and so right out of the bath in Monday morning, which I already feel, yeah, and then I'm reading truly hard sayings. You know, just 3 times in a row, Jesus saying, "You cannot be my disciple unless." And I'm just like, oh my lands. It was just a load of bricks in some ways. And it was just a hard, hard morning, if you will. It was hard sayings. I thought it was a hard portion of Scripture because I just wasn't feeling well enough to get it. And I came in from the back door, and it was a hard door to push through. So Luke... let me just reread these again, just in the demands of them, if you will. If you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison. And some people are just like, what? What's that got to do with love? You know, your father, your mother, wife, and children, brothers and sisters. Yes, even your own life. A lot of people just say, where's the door? They don't even need to hear, otherwise you cannot be my disciple. Some just say, who wants to be? I don't want that. If I've got to hate other people compared to you, what's up with that? I don't, you know, a lot of people just say, no, thank you. And then 27, if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. And it's like, I thought he wanted us to be his disciple. And he seems intent on telling people they can't be. And then, of course, after a couple of parables, and then it's like, so you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. And I'm just like, wonderful. And it was... It's kind of a mouthful when you see it, just in its starkness here. But then about Tuesday, I got figured out that, all of these statements only make sense in the context. The most important principle we all need, right? Context is everything. Get the context of the scriptures when God says these things. So Jesus is saying these things, and they just are like a smack in the face when you rip them out of context. But when you put them up against and right behind this great feast that God has invited everybody to, this phenomenal, phenomenal feast that the sovereign God of the universe has given these free invitations to all of people that do not deserve them, and then these folks say, no thanks. Nope, can't be bothered. You're putting out a spread, God. I got better things to do. You're setting the table. I'll stay with this. And that then was the context for when Jesus is saying that that stuff will not fly. God gives a gracious invitation, and you're going to refuse it. You will not be my disciple. And really, it's really not God saying you won't. I mean, it is. But there's a sense here where the people are saying, I don't want to be your disciple. I don't want anything to do with what you're giving. Because God has made this wonderful invitation, set the table, invited folks, and they say, I can't be bothered. And God says, absolutely, you will not be bothered. And you will not come, you will not be invited, you will not be my disciple if you crave and you love this stuff more than me. And see, that's where just really I feel like we need the Spirit of God to help us to see that and to get that. Because we will value what is in front of us more than that which is eternal if we're not careful. Whatever the, you know, the two birds in the bush, whatever that saying is. What?
Bird in the hand is worth two in the bush.
A bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. Thank you very much. That's it. You know, I'll take what I got here. I understand there's this pie in the sky stuff that's talked about, but, I'll take the door I got here, you know. I'll take door number one. I see the bright, shiny stuff there. And I understand, I've been told, there's much better stuff behind door number two, but I'll go with the gold here. And we need God to help us to get this. He's made this incredible invitation, and if we don't want it, we won't get it. And if we won't say yes to it, we will not be the recipients of it. And it was interesting as Jake was talking about how the scriptures just, the Lord uses, you know, the scriptures to confirm some things. Well, this morning was the rich young ruler, and what a great morning for me to bump into that. Because here this guy, you know, he comes to Jesus, he's somewhat interested. He's a good guy. He's no doubt a solid, upstanding citizen, and he thinks he's all of that, and I'm sure he's been told he's all of that, and he's got a lot of reason to think he's all of that. And Jesus knows, though, that he's missing. There's something better, and he tells him, sell all that you have, give it to the poor, come follow me, and you're going to receive treasures in heaven. And this is really the deal for all of us. Jesus offers us treasures in heaven. Are we going to go away sad because of what we have to do to receive treasures in heaven? That is really the million-dollar question. That rich young ruler was no doubt a fine, upstanding guy. And he had this stuff. And it broke his heart to think that he had to part with his stuff to get that eternal life that he said he wanted, that he knew intellectually, he knew that stuff was going to be better than this stuff. I mean, when you tell somebody, look, this is eternal value, this is streets, this is riches and bliss beyond your ability really to fully comprehend, and here's what you have now. I mean, everybody can intellectually see, yeah, this stuff doesn't compare with that stuff. But when push comes to shove and the bird in the hand, we just can't let go of the bird in the hand. And yet Jesus says, you absolutely must let go of the bird in the hand, or you can't be my disciple, and you cannot get the invitation to the greatest feast, to the greatest event in the history of ever. Let me just read again their excuses. They all began making excuses when they're invited to this phenomenal banquet. And it's, nah, I just bought a field. I must inspect it. Please excuse me. Got some manners there. Another said, I've just bought 5 pair of oxen. Want to try them out. Please excuse me. Another said, I now have a wife, so I can't come. There's probably a joke there, but I haven't got it, so my mind can't get around it. But look, there is all of these, and you think these excuses, they're not that great. Well, you've got better ones, and you've heard them, you've used them, you've given them. We've been on the receiving end, and we've been on the offering end. And we've got these financial needs. We've got these family needs. We've got these work duties. And whatever. And the master was furious at that type of response. Jesus was gracious to recognize he just says, boy, it's hard for the rich to enter into the kingdom of God. He didn't blast the guy. He didn't smoke him on the spot for being a fool. You know, he didn't shame him. You know, he was pretty gracious to him. But he flat out said, this guy is missing the boat. He is choosing this stuff. He's trading the greatness of heaven for stuff that's going to tarnish and pass away. Really, Jesus could have just gone off on him and said, what a fool. And he did it in so many words. How hard it is. And again, for the camel to go through the eye of a needle, you know, it's easier for the camel to go. We've all heard that and on and on and on. And Jesus was making a huge point. It is tough. When you got a lot of stuff here, when life is going well here, it can be tough. And yet if the Spirit of God will open our eyes and we will ask the Spirit of God to open our eyes, we will see there is nothing that compares to that invitation, to that feast that he offers. And if our mama didn't raise a fool, we're going to see that, and we're going to know that. This statement is these two stories. The quality of that feast, the people did not see it. They thought what they had was of more value than that feast. And yet Jesus just flat out, you know, verily, verily, I tell you the truth. The quality of that feast is worth the cost. And this cost of giving up everything that you own. If we can get our minds around that right now, I just want to say that I try to put myself in the future to say, there I'll be so thankful. What I gave up here will be no comparison to what I will have then. And so I invite you to try to put yourself at that table in the future, at that feast, and to recognize the rich young ruler, forgive me, you know, he was a fool. He was a fool to hold on to all this stuff to pass up that feast. And if we will be wise enough to make that decision, we will be so grateful for all of time. I appreciated Psalm 81 this week, verse 10. For it was I, the Lord your God, who rescued you from the land of Egypt. Do you feel like you've been rescued from the land of Egypt? If you don't, may God help you. A lot of people in the kingdom of God had their own land of Egypt that God reached down and snatched them out of. That's primarily who's in the kingdom of God. It's the poor, it's the sick, it's the those that are struggling, those that recognize their need. Blessed are the poor in spirit. We might prefer to wake up feeling sassy and happy every day, but that poverty of spirit is why a lot of people are in the kingdom of God and recognize and turn to God to rescue them from the land of Egypt. And then God says, open your mouth wide and I'll fill it with good things. I love that. For it was I, the Lord your God, who rescued you from the land of Egypt, a place of suffering and oppression and horrible. He says, open your mouth wide and I'll fill it with good things. May we have the sense, may God help us have the sense to open our mouth wide. May we recognize that Jesus said, I came to give you an abundant life. And here when Jesus said to those that gave up houses and this and family and things for me, going to receive hundredfold here and great things for all of eternity. May God help us to understand and get these things. I haven't read lately about the value of a car that drops as soon as you drive it off, a new car off the lot. You know, that depreciating value. I every now and then I hear it and it's like, whoa. And, you know, why do we do this? But, of course, it's nice to have one of those new ones. And yet the value of the car that was traded in for the new one that drove off the lot that cost so much that lost its value just like that is so much better. And there's something similar there to the kingdom of God and to the value of the kingdom of God. I understand the Sunday school today is on prosperity gospel, and this next Luke 16 is a great principle, great verses around the prosperity gospel. Look at this: the Pharisees who dearly love their money. Boy, you don't see that all the time. Don't hear that all the time. But that's what Jesus said about them. He doesn't say it all the time. He blasts them for a lot of things, but they were way off track. They were worldly dudes, you know, and they dearly loved their money. They heard all this and they scoffed at him. They scoffed at Jesus. Can you, ouch. Warning, you know, you think you are all of that and you scoff at the sayings, you scoff at Jesus. Here it is before us. It's very, very dangerous. We need to be warned. Then he said to them, you like to appear righteous in public, but God knows your hearts. And this is a phenomenal sentence. What this world honors is detestable in the sight of God. We need the Spirit of God to help us to understand what Jesus is talking about here. We need to get this. And again, if it was right in front of our face and anybody could get it, that's just not how God has set this up. Jesus rejoiced. He said, Father, you have hid these things from the super intelligent and the super wealthy, the great of this world. You've hidden this from them. But you've revealed it to people like babes, those poor in spirit. Those are the ones you've revealed this to. God help us to get that. God help us to be in that group that most people don't want to be in. Boy. There's just some, it's almost reverse psychology going on there. And God help us. That what this world honors, detestable in the sight of God. Help us to see things the way that God sees it. And And I want to end with this scripture. And again, I put it in the bulletin because I really want us to have it. Because this statement about this feast, the parable of the feast, well, this is the feast, really, I think that Jesus was talking about. This is the feast that God is talking about. He lays out this incredible feast, and people said, nah, sorry, thank you. Thank you, but no thank you. You know, I heard again what sounded like the shout of a vast crowd or the roar of mighty ocean waves or the crash of loud thunder. Praise the Lord, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Let us give honor to Him, for the time has come. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and His bride has prepared herself. And that's you and I, and that's folks like Bonnie. And there's been so many great people that have gone on from here. Coming up on 5 years, and I've just never seen this before. Where Drew lives, Melvin Greer's grandson lives 2-3 houses down from where Drew is. And she made the his grandson's wife made the connection because she was at the funeral and Melvin's just he's sat back here, he's just one a long line of people that have gone on to glory in the last 5 years. It has been, I've never had this in another congregation. And then here's Bonnie Ward, you know, my lands, sat right here. Would come smiling down that the center of that and God has prepared a wedding feast for the Lamb, and the bride has prepared herself, and the people, and you and I, we need right now, we need to be preparing ourselves right now, because this feast, nothing compares to this feast. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear. That's the future of the child of God. You say, this stuff, you know, I can't wait to get out of this stuff right now. I'm hot, I'm uncomfortable. And we've got the finest of pure white linen to wear. And we think, wow, whoa, we love to shop, love to buy this stuff. Great clothes. Yeah, my closet. I got all kinds of stuff in my closet. Yeah, in this country we do. But nothing compares to the finest of pure white linen that is given in the feast of God in heaven. For the linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. And the angel said to me this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. I almost never do this. Well, in a sense, I do a lot, I suppose. But look, I really want to encourage you to consult this scripture later. I want to encourage you to invite the Spirit of God to get your mind around this statement. May you and I believe by faith with beyond a shadow of a doubt that blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb, and we will give up anything and everything to be invited to that feast. Nothing will be of more value. Nothing will matter more to us. We have no excuses. We don't want to give any excuses because the stuff that we have here tarnishes. The stuff that we have here pales. What Jesus said is detestable. The stuff this world honors is detestable in the eyes of God. And it's going to be detestable in the eyes of the people that are at this feast. So I pray that you and I get it. The only way I know to get it is to invite the Spirit of God to open our eyes. Because in a carnal sense, we will not get this. In a carnal sense, we're going to be right there with that gang that said, thanks, but no thanks. I got some oxen over here, buddy. I can't wait to try them out. Spin them around the field here. I can't wait. And that's carnal eyes. And we got to get rid of carnal eyes, and we got to have spirit eyes that see not by sight, but see by faith. And he added, these are the true words that come from God. I invite you to check this out later and to spend some time with the Word of God open on your lap and chuck this thing down in there and ask God to give me this heart, to give me this attitude that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I will be blessed to be invited to that wedding feast of the Lamb, and if I'm there, nothing will compare to it. God help us. God help us. These are the true words that come from God. Boy, you don't get to say that every day. Did somebody pick in the garden because of Bonnie? Did you do that, Lisa? I don't know. This sounds like a Bonnie song. So, yeah, I think we can. There you go. Let us sing. And yeah, the unity of the Spirit's just at work in this service. Yeah, there's a number. Is it not in the 314? All of those folks that have gone before us, they know the truth and the value of these words. May we sing them unto the Lord.